You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
In 2025, transformation isn't optional. It is actually expected. And it isn't companies leading the change this time around. It's the customer. You and me. We're demanding relevance, speed, and intelligence in every interaction, every platform, and we demand it every time. Now, to help us unpack what this demands and how to deliver, it's our pleasure to welcome Uthubelihle Mavuso, a digital product and CX strategist who's shaped over a decade of transformation across African media platforms, particularly at MultiChoice Group, where she defines and delivers digital ecosystems used by millions across the continent. If you use DSTV, we have DSTV. You should thank her after this conversation. Tube launches products, sure, but she builds connective tissue between technology and human experience. She's here to help us understand what real digital transformation looks like in customer experience, how to manage connection and not just clicks, as well as how CX-led transformation can be both profitable and profound. We're getting both theory and actionable insight tonight, drawn from complex African systems and billions of user interactions. Let's discover how the customer becomes a compass and transformation becomes the outcome. Tube, hello.
Hi, Mpumi.
How are you? I'm well, thank you.
Great. Thanks for having me on tonight.
Let's hop right onto it, yeah?
Sure.
Now, Tube, when organizations say they are transforming digitally, what should they be transforming from and what mindsets must shift first?
So when we speak of digital transformation, Bumi, yeah, essentially it really is about the optimization of organizations. So it's the adoption of digital technologies to improve efficiencies within organizations, to strengthen their value propositions, and to optimize processes. And when you get those three things right, essentially you save costs and ultimately boost revenues. So that's why it's really important in this day and age. And what are we transforming from? We're transforming from a regular way of doing things, right? So where things were typically manual, paper-based, the world has moved exponentially, or rather at an exponential speed, to adopt digital platforms, digital technology across industries. And so if any organizations want to succeed both from a customer love and customer value perspective, as well as from a profits perspective, you have no option but to digitally adapt and digitally transform.
Yeah. Does digital transformation automatically mean scaling?
You know what? I think the purpose of digital transformation is more often than not to scale. And when done correctly, you can definitely achieve that. So I would say yes.
Got it. Now, if customer expectations now drive business strategy, how do you turn reactive service into proactive experience design?
So I would say what's really important, and I think you started out with it, Mpumi, is to keep the customer at the center of it all.
Yeah.
Right? So you may have decided as a business that this is what you want to go out with, but the main thing is to be able to be teachable, right? It's to be able to learn what your customers are saying, what their feedback is, understand how they engage on certain platforms, understand how what the most effective way to reach them is, understand what their ideal customer journeys and experiences are, and that should inform your business strategy.
Yeah.
Often companies fail to listen to what the customer is saying and what the customer is implying. You know, sometimes things aren't explicitly said, but they're implied. And often digital transformation helps us to listen better and also helps us to reach and target better.
This is so interesting because when you say this is what digital transformation helps us with, one can assume that this wasn't the thing in the past. To be, business has been happening for centuries and centuries. When... hold on, I'm still a bit confused. So I started a company 5 years ago, right? And from the very beginning, my coaches told me that is what you do. You start with the customer. And to hear that, like, this is a new thing. Abo Henry Ford, what were they doing? How was business conducted in the past that didn't have customers at the center?
Yeah, so I think it's all about adapting more than anything for me. And it's about meeting customers where they are. So like you're saying, we're in the past. Social media wasn't even a thing.
Yeah.
You know, and look how much social media has evolved, you know, over the years. And how critical it is as a top of the funnel activity. And when I say top of the funnel, it really is where your customers discover your product. They discover what you have to offer. And you know, when you think of how the world has evolved, it really is transform, and I mean digitally transform or adapt or die. The likes of Kodak, you know, unfortunately, they didn't take their advice in the past, and unfortunately aren't as relevant in this new world.
Yeah.
So that's where it becomes really critical for me. Like you're saying, business has always been conducted, and it was in the past.
Yeah.
But the companies that see longevity and see success decade after decade are the ones that choose to adapt.
Interesting. Now, with customers being the starting point and not the end points, how should business restructure themselves around that mindset? And I'm talking from culture to products to service. What should they prioritize?
Yeah, so I think this is where segmentation really is of the utmost importance.
Okay.
And what that is it's really about understanding your customer, understanding their lifestyle, understanding their life stage.
Yeah.
And that will assist businesses in being able to target more effectively.
Mm-hmm.
So once you understand what sort of platforms your customers are engaging on, so let's use an example. You're targeting a student because you want to sell them a particular product.
Yep.
Student behaviors significantly differ from what a retiree's behavior to what an established family's behavior is, right? So you need to have an understanding of, you know, where they engage, where they are, you know, adopting their cultural influences from, where they are, or rather how they're transacting and what sort of platforms they're using to transact, so that you're able to reach them in a meaningful way, end to end. So from the beginning of the funnel, so where they discover your product, whether it be social media, whether it be through you know, targeted digital marketing, to where they pay for your product. You know, are they uploading their card details, you know, online, or do they still believe cash is king? And how are they getting that cash across to you? And what are the digital platforms that need to be used there, right up until to where they're advocating for your product. You know, so are they giving you feedback on social media, and being able to hashtag this product, you know, is the best, make sure that you adopt it, or are they on Hello Pizza about your product? So it really is about understanding where your customer engages end to end and meeting them there.
Yeah. So it sounds like essentially designing platforms that anticipate behavior, right, rather than react. So how do you stay ahead of fast evolving user needs then without becoming reductive?
Yeah, so I think the answer to that question is twofold, right?
Okay.
So the one is really understanding what's happening in the market, you know, and in a relevant way to your industry, right? So you want to know, you know, what's happening globally, what's happening locally, you know, what those industry trends look like. Also from a technology perspective, to say, what are the technologies that these, you know, multinational companies are using that assist them to be more effective? And then the other side to it is also understanding how quickly or how slowly your target market is adopting these technologies.
Yeah.
You know, because it's one thing to be ahead of the game when it comes to, and you'll think of whatever example, but from a technology perspective, but your audience isn't even there yet, you know? And so how impactful is that really? Not really. So it's about really getting the synergy between, okay, this is a leapfrog technology, and this is where the market will be in the next, you know, 3 to 5 years versus this is where my audience is right now, and this is potentially how I want to transition them to be at a certain place. Or more often than not, and you'll see it in African markets, is okay, the curve has moved, you know, the audience has moved, mm-hmm. and then as business, you know, we attempt to adapt to where the audience is then. So it really is about meeting that good synergy between this is where Leapfrog technology is versus this is where my audience is or my target market, and then striking the balance.
And I'm so happy you went there, because that's exactly what I want to segue into, right? What are the key metrics that signal meaningful engagement? And I'm very emphatic on the meaningful engagement, because the point here isn't just traffic, I'd love to believe, especially in media and service brands across Africa. What should we be measuring that signal meaningful engagement to us?
Yeah, so I mean, from a business perspective, ultimately what matters is conversion.
Oh yes, so revenue.
It's your conversion rate, because that's what impacts your bottom line, right? And depending on what type of business or industry you're in, conversion rates are either about like how many people clicked through, it's about how many people signed up, or how many people bought your product, or it's about how many people made it to the bottom of the sales funnel. The other would be, okay, and this is a bit more of a technical term, but it matters to business. It's about your cost per acquisition.
Yeah.
So how much did it actually cost me to acquire this person? Mm-hmm. You know, when I think of what it took to show this ad online, so like the creation of a key visual to, you know, boosting that post, or, you know, making sure that it shows up on the right digital media platforms, right up until they enter my journey and convert. How much does that actually cost me? And that's where scale matters, Mbumi.
Yeah.
Because the more people that you have converting or making it to the end of the funnel, the cheaper it is for you as a business.
100%.
But yeah, like I said, a bit technical.
Yeah.
Then the other, from a social media perspective, the other metrics are like your engagement, your reach, your follows, etc., which often we refer to as vanity metrics, but they matter. They still matter. So for anybody who is trying to, you know, monetize their social media, those are the metrics that matter to you.
And I see why they would matter, because I've heard that it takes somebody 7 times seeing a thing before they actually decide to buy. So even if they're not engaging meaningfully, and I'm saying meaningfully in air quotes, in the beginning or at the start, at the 7th point, there's a chance, or the 7th encounter, there's a chance that person can be converted. Yeah?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, think of how many times you found yourself, you know, down that Shane path. You know, you started scrolling on Instagram, next thing you know, you're checking out your cart on Shane.
Literally.
How did I get here?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Shein, Shane, however you pronounce
it. Yeah.
But really, to be effective, like you're saying, it is about like frequency of people seeing your ad, but also it's about like the effectiveness of the, and I would say audio visual, but rather graphics, the effectiveness of the graphics of your ad, right? So these days, video content is performing way better than what static images are. And so what businesses are doing is, once they grab you in that 2 seconds, you'll find that you're most likely to go down a path of being converted in that funnel. And you're most likely not going to have to see that ad 7 times over.
Yeah.
And that's the effectiveness of video content over, you know, static images. So yes, absolutely. It's about the frequency. It's about the quality of that key visual and that graphic. And a number of other things. It's about the time of day, that you're engaging with that ad. It's about the time of month, etc. So there's a number of things that influence whether or not your ad campaign will be successful.
That's so interesting, because if you were saying this, and I don't think what you're saying is incorrect, because I've seen even on my platform, videos perform way better than static, and I'm just like, guys, it's so good. Just look, it's so appealing. It's so beautiful. But 5 years ago, people were on their screen, and they loved to be on their screen because they couldn't be anywhere else. And I'm talking about during COVID, right? Now, people's attention is split. They're going here, there, and everywhere. The attention span has radically decreased. It's very surprising to me how video still converts well. What's the psychology around that?
Yeah, you know, you raise an interesting point. So a few years ago, video content or video as a form wasn't as popular because of like the cost of data and the likes.
Yeah.
But now as we get you know, more affordable, you know, ways in which to access data, people are able to, you know, scroll on TikTok for hours and hours. And like you're saying, based on our, and I think we've almost been desensitized based on the high exposure to content and to screen time, etc. Our attention spans have dropped.
Yeah.
So you only have that, you know, that 2 second to 3 second window of deciding whether or not you're interested in watching this any further or if you're just going to continue scrolling up. Having said that, they are competing, they're competing platforms for our attention. The reality for me is that the smartphone will always rule. And what do I mean by that? In South Africa, and in Africa in particular, smartphone penetration, you know, has grown exponentially from what it was a couple of years ago. And so people are doing business on their phones.
Yeah.
They're not just using their phone for phone calls, SMSs and communication. They're using it as a tool to get information, as a tool to disseminate and circulate information, you know, as a tool to conduct business, etc. And so as we see the cost of data decreasing and more people becoming connected and the smartphone penetration rising, I mean, the relevance of showing up in digital media becomes more and more important. And for businesses to really understand how to be impactful in those spaces, because like you're saying, there's a lot of noise, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of noise. There's a lot of stuff on there. So business really needs to apply themselves in how they show up.
Yeah. And you mentioned video earlier and just how in those first 2 seconds, somebody needs to be grabbed already. And for me, that says the user wants to feel seen, right? And so not just serve, because you'll only serve them towards the end of the funnel, if not at the very end of the funnel. So please like tap into your work at MultiChoice and maybe any other of the careers of the jobs that you've had over the years. How do you actually shape platforms so users feel seen and not just served?
Yeah, that's so important for me, because as customers, and I'm going to speak from a customer's perspective, right?
Yeah.
You can tell when a brand is just product pushing versus when a brand actually cares and wants to engage you, right? And so I think what I've learned on my journey through, you know, the various companies that I've worked for and through the company that I'm at right now is that you need to be authentic in saying that the customer is at the center, because you ultimately need to solve the real needs and solve real problems for the customer before you product push, right? So a light example, right? We're in the business of entertainment. So what we need to do on our digital platforms is we need to engage you with our content, right?
Yeah.
Put aside the fact that we're selling it and the product is DSTV, but what you love as an end consumer is you love Sweet Kuluva from Big Brother.
Yeah.
You know, what you love as a consumer is, you know, Umkoka, the show. So the way that we need to show up on digital platforms is by playing back the content you love, playing back the characters that you want to engage and, you know, understand more about and, you know, get an opportunity to see in person. And so we entice you with creating those opportunities for you as a customer to engage with the content that you love. And then ultimately, further down the funnel, it's about saying, okay, and this is how you go further. You know, this is how you get access to all of it. And that's how we then convert you to then say, okay, you know, for you to see more, for you to get more, you need to, you know, buy a decoder or get into our DSTV stream process, et cetera. But it's almost like a lot of businesses are doing it to say, try before you buy. And they're doing it in different ways, right? So let me allow you to experience this freemium.
Yeah.
And then beyond that, then you can, you know, get into a world of more. But I would have enticed you enough.
Yeah.
I would have met your high level need, an immediate need in this try before you buy model.
Yeah.
And then beyond that, you explore more.
Oh, I love that. Now, when users comment, complain, or congratulate, because it's always a bag, right? It's a mixed bag of all of this. How do brands build genuine loyalty to be through bold digital responses and not those canned templates? Yo.
Right? And not the AI bots.
Yo.
That just that give cold responses. Mm. So I think, first of all, businesses shouldn't be shy of the feedback that shows up on social media, right?
Yeah.
I think it's good to be engaged.
Mm-hmm.
It shows that, okay, people care enough to give you the feedback, to engage you on those platforms, etc. And you often need to equip yourself, and the big organizations do, with, you know, community managers that will, you know, manage all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the companies that have succeeded the most are the companies that are authentic, right? Authentic in their responses, authentic in engaging customers, authentic in solving problems. Because I think these days, as customers, we're quite clever. We know that if we go to social media and make a huff and a puff about our operational issues or the issues that we're experiencing, that's the quickest way to get a response instead of, you know, holding on the telephone.
Yep.
So it's the customers that are, or rather the businesses that are genuine about solving customers' problems and making sure that operationally they're achieving excellence in that sense, and that are authentic about their responses.
Mm.
I mean, it's so awesome to see, you know, businesses responding like humans. You know, so you'll see big multinational companies responding in Vinek, you know, to their customers that have complained or that have said something in Vinek, you know. You'll see big organizations tagging their competitors, you know, in some of their responses on social media.
Mm.
And those are the companies that are able to recover from, you know, the bad feedback on social media platforms.
Yeah.
And so I'd encourage, you know, from small business to big business, to just be authentic in the way that they engage customers online.
And how do you infuse empathy into architecture, ensuring that systems serve rather than just sell?
Okay, so that's a big question, Bumi. You know, because when you say empathy into architecture, it really is about the way in which you build your systems, the way in which you train your AI bots, the way in which you structure your processes. Is the way in which that you're doing that inclusive, firstly? And that means a lot of things. It takes a lot of things into account. You know, it takes accessibility into account. So when you think of inclusivity, it's about saying, okay, across all demographics, you know, so am I able to engage my customers in a language of their preference?
Yeah.
You know, am I able to, you know, adapt my processes and my AI bots, etc., to not apply biases?
Yeah.
You know, whether that be, you know, racial biases or financial biases to certain demographics, etc. So that is a really big one that I think businesses are still in the process of figuring out how to best do it. Because remember, it's humans.
Yeah.
It's humans that program, you know, the technology. It's humans that design the processes or that create the architecture to work in our favor, you know, and as humans, we're naturally biased or naturally flawed.
Mm.
So I think that is still a big challenge for big and small business to solve.
Yeah. And the truth is, everybody knows that change starts from the inside, right? So how does one align, or how does a team align their internal teams, or a leader perhaps align their internal teams on purpose, shared metrics, and customer-first thinking, especially where silos and systems still exist? Because I think in corporates, this exists a lot.
Yeah, it does exist a lot. And obviously, all businesses have their own unique cultures, but there's a saying that says culture eats strategy for breakfast, right? So so you can have the best strategies, right, world-class strategies, but if your culture in an organization isn't right, unfortunately, those strategies, you know, will never see the light of day in terms of implementation. So it's important to structure business correctly, to make sure that your culture encourages collaboration, your culture encourages innovation. And those things are easier said than done, right? And I think businesses strive, you know, towards that on a daily basis. But I think, you know, what often happens is it's it's reflected in the experience that customers have with those businesses and with those products. Mm. So whatever's happening internally always, you know, is reflected in the customer experience. And so I think it's important for businesses to be intentional about keeping the customer at the center and designing all of their processes, designing all of their technology and the likes to really, really be true to that.
Yeah. And speaking of processes or systems, what are those processes or governance frameworks that can be implemented to support customer delights without slowing innovation?
Yeah, so I think firstly, if customer delight is not a metric within a business, nobody in that business will see it of importance, right?
Metric.
So if people aren't measured according to how satisfied their customers are, people won't regard that as important. So I think it's important for businesses to factor that in and measure people, you know, have it as a KPI to say our customers need to give us the feedback that they're satisfied, that they're happy with what we serve them with, you know, and that's how you build customer centricity within organizations. From a governance perspective, it looks different, right? It looks different per industry. It looks different per organization. But I think my comment on that is that I think we still have a long way to go in terms of how we regulate our technology. You know, I think we're doing a lot better in terms of, you know, when you look at Poppy and how the customer protection acts, etc., are being enforced. I think we've really come a long way in terms of protecting the customer's rights, protecting the customer's information, and like you're saying, keeping customers at the center of things. But I think there is still a long way to go in terms of how we're governed from a technology serving customers perspective.
Earlier you mentioned authenticity, and I need to go back to that because I'm wondering, how can fast growth avoid diluting that authenticity and even your brand tone or accessibility for that matter, especially in diverse markets?
Yeah. So I think, you know, people often use a sample of one, you know, to say, but I wasn't offended by that. I didn't find that you know, offensive. I think that's a clever idea. And I think the way that businesses get around, you know, making certain blunders in terms of not having an authentic tone of voice or not, you know, not being inclusive in the way they show up is by testing. You know, there's nothing wrong with ideating something, you know, getting a sample, a diverse sample of people to, you know, to test it and give you the feedback before you go out fully, you know, with the position as a company. And, you know, that really does help companies to iterate, to, like you're saying, you know, become more authentic. It's important just to, and there's a concept in product development that we call build, measure, learn. And essentially what it is, it's the essence of just, you know, just testing a concept, you know, testing certain campaigns, etc., before going big bang with them. So that you can iterate, you can incorporate the learnings. And then go out. So I think that's one thing.
Speaking of testing, because I know it's a mistake that a lot of companies, a lot of business owners make, not testing, that is. Can you share a pivot or a launch that didn't resonate with the masses like you thought it would? And what did it teach you? And how did it shape what came next?
Oh my goodness, there are quite a few examples for me, and I don't want to get into trouble, okay? I can't afford a lawsuit. But what I can say is that there's so many examples, right? And I think it goes back to the concept that we started out with around companies being prepared to adapt and to move, right? So to be teachable, right? So to learn from what your customers are telling you and what your customers are implying, and to learn from how your customers are moving, you know? And once businesses are able to do that and work that into their processes, right? Then they're able to fail fast. So it's a term that we use. We say you fail fast.
Yes.
So you create something. So you have a concept. You've got an idea.
Yeah.
You quickly get a a ring-fenced group to test it with. Mm. They tell you that actually this is not what we're looking for. This is not cool. It's not going to land. It doesn't resonate. Mm. You quickly, take it back and rework it, and then, attempt to launch it again. And you iterate. You work in iterations like that. Mm-hmm. So I think it is a newer way of doing business, but a lot of businesses are adopting that. And seeing the results, seeing the benefits of it, right? And it's what we refer to as agile. Mm-hmm. So it's agile implementation. It's just being flexible in terms of the way we work, failing fast, taking in the learnings, iterating and showing up better.
Yeah. And I know that we are speaking to a diverse group of people who are from diverse markets as well. But currently, What is resonating with people? What seems to be the thing that people gravitate towards the most?
Yeah, so I think what is resonating with people is and we mentioned authenticity, but it's about being relevant, but not in a forced way. Hmm. So it's about understanding what's happening, in today's age. Mm-hmm. And it's literally also about responding fast.
Okay.
The way in which, things are moving. Today we're talking about, SAPS, capture. Tomorrow we're talking about, something different. Or today we're talking about Thailand, a new song. Then, the next day we're talking about Real Housewives of Durban. And the next day we're talking about Netflix. You know what I mean? So the way in which things move so quickly, what gets the most engagement, what's the brands in which I feel succeed best are those that show up in a relevant way, right? But that's unforced. And also brands that actually just solve real problems, And by real problems, I mean brands that meet people at their point of need.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So brands that the likes of Checker 60, that's such a good example of how, not so long ago, we were showing up in grocery stores, but now actually we're ordering our groceries on the phone. And our kids are so obsessed with these motorbikes that they want to wear, the turquoise onesies and get those turquoise, helmets and have a Checker 60 themed birthday party because of how, that brand is firstly solving real problems for people, because we're no longer finding the time to show up in a grocery store. Mm-hmm. But they're doing so in such an effective, and relevant way. So I think it's really about solving real problems. Mm. It's about being relevant for the time.
Yeah. And because it sounds to me like the foundation, Jay, is making sure that you're relevant and you're solving people's problems. Where do you see digital customer experience evolving in the next perhaps 18 to 24 months?
Whoa. Okay. So that's a big one. So I think people will continue to engage online. I do see, the growth of, people refer to fast fashion. It's fast groceries. It's fast, it's almost fast everything.
Yeah.
And I do see that evolving and continuing, or rather I do see it growing, not so much evolving, because, 18 to 24 months. And I see, like I said, as connectivity grows, smartphone penetration continues to increase.
Mm-hmm.
But I also see people, for me, and this is just from like a global trend perspective, I do see people really trying to strike a balance, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and what do I mean by that? From, how much people consume things digitally, I do see people attempting, to strike a balance and to pull back a bit. Engage in person again, and not so much, in that hermit style fashion that we saw happening, during COVID and like shortly after, and currently. So I think it's a bit of both. Hey, I think it's about saying yes, show up in an impactful way digitally, but the in-person experience with your brand must be just as impactful.
So it sounds like for the acquisition of the customer, digital is the way to go. But for delivery, perhaps in person is the better option.
Yes. Yeah. I think, delivery and maintenance, of your relationship with the customer, definitely in person.
Because ultimately, yes, you you discover a product online, you engage online, but then that product is often, you know, in some instances, you know, delivered to you physically. And that's how you up the ante and you maintain the relationship and create advocates out of your customers for what you're serving.
Okay, I'm taking notes for my own business, so thanks.
You're welcome.
Now, to when the digital noise fades, what's the one principle you believe every brand, and I'm talking big or small, must build their customer journey around, except the customer?
Yeah, because that's what I was going to say. You know what? It's honestly operational excellence. Especially when you're saying from a digital perspective, it's operational excellence. So your fulfillment needs to be excellent. And we've really gotten used to, and I'm talking as customers, we've really gotten used to a high standard of service, a high standard of fulfillment, you know, where, like I'm saying to you, groceries can be delivered to you in 60 minutes, you know, your Wi-Fi is operating at, you know, 10 megabytes per second or however high, you know, your speed is. You know, a lot of things are at our fingertips. So we've really gotten used to a really high standard, you know, of service and of product fulfillment. And so for me, it really is about operational excellence, because you can market something to the moon and back. You know, people can fall in love with your campaigns, fall in love with, you know, with what you're showing them and what you're serving them from a graphics perspective and a video content perspective. But if the workings in the back, if the operations aren't excellent, the fulfillment falls apart, you know, and you lose them as quickly as you gain them. So for me, it's that.
Oh, wow. And I wonder if your answer to this will be any different. But if you delivered only one core principle from your journey, what would it be, and why do you carry it so personally?
This is a tough one. Because there's so many lessons learned on
then
the way.
Give us three. Give us three then.
There's so many gems. So speaking from, you know, somebody who has, you know, had a small business and works for big business, I would say, and we referred to it initially, keep the customer at the center of it. And that means understanding, you know, your customer, like I said, understanding their lifestyle, understanding their life stage, understand how they transact, where they're spending their money, etc., so that you can really show up in a meaningful and impactful way. So that's number one. Number two, operational excellence. Make sure that you've really gotten the back end workings right, so that you can fulfill on whatever you're putting out as your brand promise. And then thirdly, I think it's learn from global players. You know, be teachable as a business. Don't be, you know, stuck in one thing, and not prepared to, you know, to adapt as the world moves. So I think it's being teachable as a business, being teachable as a person in business, is critical.
And I'm so happy you brought in the global players, because I think that is where we got spoiled with operational efficiency, right? Those people know what they're doing. And so when you bring it to local context and you're running your business here, and people are just like, wait, what? The culture shock.
But what you're finding for me is that we also have so much to offer, you know, both locally here in South Africa and just as a continent, you know, and you see how there are, you know, so many startups that come from out of Africa, you know, Ghana, Nigeria, Kenya, South Africa, where you're seeing, you know, venture capitalists, you know, from the Western world, you know, wanting to invest and grow those businesses because the ideas are amazing and we have so much to offer. And I think even just as you, big business and small business, we have caught up in some senses. In other senses, we're still catching up. But I think we are, I mean, you know, the internet and the smartphone and computers have really made the world a smaller place, you know. So it's really assisting us, you know, in our regions and locally to get things right the first time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, don't discount us. Don't count us out.
not even. The ideas are really great. And I think maybe your response to this will help just convey what's on my mind, right? What are we getting wrong as small brands? And I'm talking about people like you and I who have their own businesses and maybe even small scale. What are we getting wrong that is hindering us from actually making it into the big league?
Yeah, so I think one of the things is scaling.
Mm.
So being able to move from, you know, being a small business, you know, that operates out of your garage to, you know, being a business that, you know, is self-sufficient and that operates out of, you know, a place of work separate from your residential place and that has the right processes in place, etc. I think often we want to jump too quickly from being, you know, just me in the business to, you know, hiring 10 people and, you know, hiring a space, etc. So I think it's that transition that we don't get right.
And I think your response now just ties all of this back to where we started, digital transformation. I think when I think scaling, I think systems. And I think maybe that's where we get tripped up. The idea of systems and setting them up and allowing for them to run. And by systems, I do mean the technology, but also people. I think that is where we are not getting it right.
I would agree because that stuff costs money, right?
It does.
It costs money. And so sometimes as a small business, it's like, where do I spend it? When do I spend, you know? So it's about getting the timing right in terms of, you know, how and when to implement.
And in terms of priority then, what would be the thing to prioritize before you can move to systems and things of that nature? And I'm assuming, and you could correct me, it's actually the marketing, because the marketing is what leads to conversion, and the conversion is what then gets the revenue. But I might be wrong. You're the expert. How do we prioritize?
Yeah, no, so you're absolutely right, Tempumi. It's about getting your messaging right so that people understand what it is exactly that you're having to offer and are able to manage their expectations about how you offer it, etc. And know how to engage you. So definitely from that sense. And then I would say it's just about, you know, before you diversify, get one thing right and do it really well, you know, and grow in that before you move into other things.
I'm hearing this one thing so much. And I think it's actually, if I were anything but Christian, a message from the universe that I need to master this one thing.
Yeah. I would tend to agree.
Oh, man. This conversation has made it clear, at least to me, that customer experience remains at the heart of transformation. We cannot talk transformation without customer experience. It's not even an afterthought. What it sounds like to me from everything you said is that it's actually an accelerator. You know, we've just heard how transformation isn't achieved by tech alone. It can't. There are things like empathy and discipline and listening to the people behind the need, behind the product that you've created that matters. And so with that, I'd really love to thank you for guiding us in designing futures where every digital interaction feels not only intentional and intelligent, but also infused with context.
No, thank you. Thank you so much for having me on. Bumi, I hope the listeners learned something. And good luck. Good luck to everybody that operates in the digital world. And it literally is everybody. For as long as you've got a smartphone, that is you, as well as small business and big business.
This was quite high level for me. I think next time I should invite you back to, like, actually get into the nitty-gritties, you know, the masterclass of marketing for small businesses especially, because I think that's something that we don't often get right, and that is something that can be a linchpin to making sure that we succeed and our businesses really thrive.
Happy to do so, Mpumi. You've got my number.
Lovely. Have a lovely evening. Thank you so much for coming through.
Thank you.
Cheers. Thanks.
Bye.
And with that, everybody, I am Nompumelelo Mbonani, and I hope you've just made sense of your business. Guys, let's get the bag, hey? Let's get that dough. Fresh Mercy is tomorrow. Ciao for now.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.